Father, we thank you for your word. We open our hearts to you. Continue ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us see what you see. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We're continuing our series as a church family on origins. It's Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 3. If you are new with us today, we're glad you're here. And we are so glad that you chose to fellowship and worship with us today. We desire that you would discover and know Jesus. That is our heart. And then from there, that your thinking shift from being a follower to a leader, and from a leader to an ambassador of Christ's kingdom here on the earth. And in this series on origins, the Lord's been showing us our true selves, our original design as he intended. If you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, you're going to see a whole lot of God's intent in making you, and you're wonderfully made, part heaven, part earth, part spirit, part physical, in order to be his partner in extending your father's culture and his goodness throughout the earth. That's what we find in Genesis 1 and 2. We have returned to our manufacturer for the actual truth about who we are and why we're here. You know, if you have a problem with a product, you just go back to the manufacturer. And he's helping us to see what he sees. I want to mention this about Genesis, especially for those who are new, that every kingdom, a kingdom is a form of government. It's the one that the Lord God has chosen to fill the earth with. And all kingdoms expand to extend their glory and their influence. And kingdom expansion is called colonization. Everybody say colonization. So the earth was created for God's kingdom expansion and colonization. Psalm 119 says that the Lord established his throne in the heavenly realm, but his kingdom rules over all, both spiritual and physical. And can I get a witness that before God created fish, he created the environment in which he would put the fish? And before he created the bird, he created an environment through which the bird would live. In the same way, God created the earth, this dimension, and then he put you and I in it. To do what? To extend, well, to know him, but to extend his glory and influence in this earthly realm so that people could know him. God doesn't desire that any would perish, but all would come to repentance and to knowing him. And this is why the devil has rejoiced greatly over the years when the goal of the church became, let's all go to heaven. There's already been a war in heaven, and the devil lost. He was evicted. He was kicked out. Iniquity was found in him, Isaiah said, and he was cast down to the earth, Revelation 12, 9. So the war is over in heaven. Nobody needs help changing the culture in heaven. But the culture of the earth, if you watch the news, it needs some help. And God created the earth realm, the physical dimension, to colonize it with his spirit. And that's where you and I come in. Remember early on in this series, I said God wants to rule the seen realm from the unseen realm by putting himself in the unseen part of the one he put on the scene. And that's you and me. So the devil rejoices every time that somebody thinks the goal of Christianity is that when we're dead, we can all go to heaven. I'm not saying that's not true. To be absent from the body is certainly to be present with the Lord. But if you read Genesis, you cannot escape the dominion mandate that God made us in his image, made us of himself. Remember, he spoke to himself when he brought forth man, that we would fill the earth with him and colonize it to look like heaven. You know, it's easy for us to have unity with other churches. Why? Because there's no division in heaven. And Jesus introduced a very simple prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't have, you know, Catholics and Lutherans in fisticuffs in heaven. They're not taking shots at each other's doctrine. Well, amen. I'll amen myself. It's true. And he desires, the Lord desires that culture here. The church cannot major on stockpiling church members versus raising and dispatching kingdom citizens. disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the whole earth. It's a leadership mandate. Matthew 28:18. Fill the earth with Christ-filled leaders. Religion is crippling because it makes us members of a religious organization instead of citizens of our Father's kingdom. It's a simple question. Would you rather be a church member, or would you rather partner with God to change the face of the planet? Amen. Man, one sounds boring, one sounds exciting. In religion, man works to appease his deity's demands. But in a kingdom, the king actually supplies his people with the goods to change the culture and affect the area where they are. Boy, amen. We partner together. Citizens of a kingdom, sons and daughters of God, in this case, have privileges, whereas members of religious organizations and institutions have duties and obligations. God didn't create you for duties and obligations. God created you to supply you with his culture and his spirit and his goods to fill the earth with himself. How about this? John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. What do children of God have? We have rights and privileges. What do church members have? Duties and obligations. So he says, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And as I mentioned earlier, the word right there means power to act on his behalf. Authority to represent him as his son or his daughter. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but actually born of God. How did you become a citizen of the United States? You were born here. How do you become a citizen of your Father's kingdom? Be born again. Be born from above, literally, is what Jesus said. Born of heaven, born of the Spirit. You're born of your Father's culture. You have every right then. If it's not in that culture, you have every right to act on his behalf to bring it here. Because you are here to colonize this place to look like his place. And do it by the Spirit of the living God. Not independent of him. Don't you dare. Not independent of him. You can't do anything apart from him. Woo! See, if you're a member of a religious organization, you'll put up with things you have a right to change. When things come against your family and your household that are not in line with the will of God, you have a right to change them. Why? Because you are given authority and you've been deputized to act on your Father's behalf. Amen. Don't let religion cause you to put up with things that you have a right to change, because many times what religion will do to us is convince us, well, remember, the goal in religion is I got to appease my deity. If I'm not appeasing my deity good enough, then I start thinking, man, all this bad stuff that's happening to me is probably because I'm not performing well enough for my deity, and he's mad at me. And you end up putting up with something that as his child you have a right to change. You have a right not to act independent of him. But what did Jesus say? I only do what I see my Father do. If it's my Father's, then I have every right to invite it here. Amen. To act on my Father's behalf. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. For sonship and daughtership. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Truth is original information. I've never heard that said until this week. Miles Monroe, I heard say that. Truth is original information. You don't go forward to find truth. You don't turn on the TV and say, man, I hope we find some truth today. I hope we discover, you know, some great truth. Don't go forward for truth. Go backwards for it. Because truth is original information. So when Jesus Christ came and said, I'm the way and I'm the truth, you know what he was saying, Kenda? I'm the original information about you. I am the truth about you, Mom. That's what he was saying. I'm not just the way to heaven. I'm the way you're designed to live. Think about the fall. The deception came and we lost our way. So the light of the world shows up and says, I'm the truth. I am the original information about mankind. Don't you dare settle. Don't let the devil lie to you and cause you to live beneath the level of your privilege as a child of God. Amen. I thought we were full gospel church. We're getting there. We're getting there. You don't go forward to find truth. You go back to the manufacturer. Jesus shows up and says, I'm the original information about you. I came to bring the original blueprint. I came to restore your dominion mandate. You're not here to be subject to every single thing that goes on and happens to you and just to be run over by the devil. That is not the mandate or the job description you were given by dad. That's what Jesus Christ shows up, not only announcing, but demonstrating. And he would go around everywhere and preach the good news of the what? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was here. It was within reach, the rule of God. And then he would heal the sick, do all these incredible things. He would demonstrate God has more power than the devil does. Truth is a higher law than fact. The fact is Peter's mother-in-law is sick, but then truth would manifest and she'd get up. Come on, Holy Ghost. Convince the church. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the original information. This will change everything. When you get original information about who you really are, what God's plan for you is, what he's supplying you. You don't live in the lie of lack, that you don't have enough. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We don't lack for anything in Christ. We have all that we need. Amen. Amen. Well, I just can't get Johnny to love me. I tell you, why are you so sad today? Well, Bill didn't treat me right. Well, what's going on today? Well, Sally, you know, she was mean to me. If you have to have everybody else do just right so you can be happy, you're not loving them, you're using them. Well, I got to have my husband act a certain way, you know. My wife's got to do this. It's got to... You're not loving them, you're just using them. Christ should be your source for happiness. And that way you're full so you can go into your marriage full. And if your spouse is lacking love and manifesting it towards you, then you have love to supply them with. This right here, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, who are we? Children, we're citizens of our Father's kingdom. Not just members of some club. We're citizens. Man, if you come to Pathways next Sunday night, I'm not going to tell you anything about church membership. I'm going to tell you you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Something much bigger than the church is here. He didn't say repent, the church is here. He said repent, the kingdom of God is here. This will change your world. This will change your marriage right here. If we go back to original information, then husbands and wives will actually co-rule together. Isn't that what's written in Genesis 1? Male and female would co-rule together. He gave us dominion over all these things, but never did he give a man dominion over another human being. It'll change your family. Start co-ruling together. We might even let husbands and wives might start letting each other rule in the area of their gifting. I say rule, let me say lead. Lead in the area of their gifting. Husbands, if your wife is much more gifted in math and the checkbook than you, don't be an idiot. Loose her and say, would you please lead our family in finances? Touch your neighbor and say, it's tight, but it's right. How about this? John 8:32, you shall know the original information, Jesus said, and the original information about you will set you free. There's more. John 16:13, Jesus said, when the spirit of truth, the spirit of original information has come, he'll guide you into all the original information. For he'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak and he'll come and tell you things to come. What's the name of this series? What is truth? Original information. Why are we getting free? Because we keep hearing the truth. And our knowing of the truth sets us free. We have gone back to find truth. We have gone back to the manufacturer. We have gone back to original information. And it is marvelous in our eyes. John 17:17, Jesus praying said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is original information. What did the devil challenge in Genesis? Has God said? He challenged God's word. All right. And then the next one, John 18:37, Pilate said to Jesus, are you a king? Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to all the original information, the original Genesis mandate. Everyone who is of the original information hears my voice." My goodness. Never again, never, 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 ever, ever again let the devil rule over you. Never. Don't let circumstances master you. Don't let other people master you. When we were in Duncan a few weeks ago, I told you, like, I don't know, 75% of the congregation came forward to the altar. We just rededicated ourselves to the truth. You want to know why? Because they got sick and tired of living a lie. They were tired of being deceived that they really didn't have all the stuff they really had. And that the Christian mandate, the Christ life, has been given that we might fill the earth with God's glory. Woo! Come on, Holy Ghost. One more. Second Thessalonians 2:13, and I apologize, that should be Thessalonians, not these. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the what? God from the beginning chose you." Everybody say, "I'm chosen." You're going to have to deal with that. I know you wouldn't pick you, but he did. So what are you going to do with it? Humble yourself. All right, Lord, I wouldn't have picked me, but you chose me from the beginning for salvation through, look at this, sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Wow. How does he sanctify us? How does he make us more and more like himself? By the Spirit at work within us and belief in the truth. The work of the Spirit is huge. Don't waste the blood. Don't waste the blood. You guys ever heard in our culture people say, "Well, Jesus is a way. I mean, he was great. He's whatever. But there's a bunch of ways. There's a bunch of great religions. Confucius, he taught some things. And Muhammad, he taught some things. And Buddha, he taught some things. And yeah, but ain't one of them shed blood for the remission of your sin. Not one of them. You want to know why? Because it wouldn't have done jack squat, number one. Number two, Jesus Christ was the first, and I'll even use the term, religious leader, the first one to recognize that blood would have to be shed. And he stepped up and said, "I'll shed my own blood," which was pure because God was his father, conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. Joseph was not his real dad. Are you with me? So he could atone for sin because his blood was that pure. But he stepped up and said, "I'll give my own blood. I'll shed my own blood for the redemption of all mankind." No other religious leader has ever done that. Why? Because Jesus understood that God's heart was not human morality. It was spirituality. Spirituality trumps morality every single day of the week. Morality is locked in man's ability to keep a command or do something that sounds good. Don't do something that sounds evil. Jesus knew the only hope for us to be holy again was to eradicate sin by the blood and let the Spirit of God come back into the house. Come on, give him praise. You are God's original dwelling place. Jesus knew the Spirit of the living God had to take up residence in you. The blood cleansed you. The Spirit makes you holy. The Spirit empowers you to godly living. He said after, amen, I'm coming. John 20, verse 22, after the cross. Everybody say, after the cross. Jesus goes to his disciples and breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They were born again right there. That's conception as children of God. But it couldn't happen until the blood. Don't waste the blood. Don't think that the cross is all the gospel. It's only half the gospel. The cross was necessary. Necessary so the Spirit of the living God could come back inside of you. And you could walk with God and talk with God and hear from God on a daily basis. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden. Woo, come on, somebody. Glory to God. So he breathes on him and says, "Holy Spirit." And then a little bit later, he says what? "Go wait for power. Go wait for power. Go wait for dunamis. I'm going to give you an outpouring of dunamis." That's the Greek word for power. Dominion through the Holy Spirit, because my Father's kingdom is in dunamis. It's in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in dunamis. Mark 9:1, Jesus said, some of you sitting here will not taste death until you see my Father's kingdom present with power. The word power, dunamis. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive dunamis when who comes upon you? The Holy Spirit. So he breathed the Holy Spirit in them. They were born again. Then the power for dominion, for rule and reign and demonstration of God's goodness came upon them. And the church was born. The church was born in the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't grow towards selflessness and power. They started with it. And we try to build our churches on everything but the Spirit of God, seems like. All right, we doing all right? Sanctification by the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. That's why Jesus is different. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. It's original truth. That's what Christianity is. It's not a religious club in which you become a member. Jesus didn't come to start a religion or anything like that. He came to reintroduce the kingdom mandate to man by putting the Spirit of God back inside man to extend his Father's goodness through man. All right. So does that make sense? Thank God for the blood. Don't waste the blood. Yeah, Confucius has some nice teachings. There's some good stuff. Buddhism, this, that, or the other. But that's just man-made morality and rules to keep and certain ways to live. Spirituality. Life dependent on the Spirit of God is what Jesus Christ came to bring. Not a bunch of rules, not a bunch of principles. So that's number one, sanctification by the Spirit. Number two, belief in the truth. So many of you work so hard to fix your behavior. Would you just put that on the back burner and ask yourself, why, Lord, am I susceptible to those behaviors? What lie am I believing? Because according to this, you can be sanctified and made more and more like Christ, walking more and more in his attitude and action by simply believing the truth about yourself. The more Steve agrees that he's righteous, he's beloved of God, and that from the beginning God chose him, the more he agrees with that he's God's ambassador, sin's not going to be very appealing. You know what the real deception of sin is? Sinful behavior is that it could ever satisfy a human being. That's the real lie. Sin will never satisfy you. You want to know why? You didn't make yourself. That's why. It'll never satisfy you. It's like saying orange juice is going to satisfy your car. Go pour some orange juice in your car and let me know what your car says. What are you, crazy? You're killing me. You're too great a creation to be satisfied by anything but the living God. That's who you are. You are too marvelous of a design and a creation to be satisfied by sin. That's the real trap. The real deception and insidiousness of sin is that it would ever satisfy. You know, it always overpromises and underdelivers. So anyway, believe the truth. Touch your neighbor and say, believe the truth. You got to abide in the dimension that you were made from, and you were made from spirit, and you were made from truth, okay? A fish cannot live outside of water. Man cannot live outside of the Spirit of God. If your current information about yourself is incongruent with God's original information about you, you're wrong. Your current information about you, if it's not in line with the original information God has, you're wrong. You need to repent, okay? We talk about who we are in Christ all the time. Wait till you figure out who Christ is in you. Wait till you figure out how big Jesus is in you. And that he wouldn't even be living in you if he hadn't shed his blood. That's what made it all possible. When the church began, the first day of the church in Acts chapter 2, Peter announced, remember, they asked Peter, what are we going to do to be saved? He said, repent. Number one, go back to God and declare your dependence. That's repenting. Lord, I've lived independent of you. Forgive me. So I return to dependence. Then it says, be baptized for the remission of sins. So the first thing that has to happen is we have to be forgiven. That's what the blood was for. And then he said, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we could be filled and walk with God once again. We need to discover who he is in us. How big is Jesus inside of us? He wouldn't be living in us if he hadn't taken care of the sin issue. So God gives you this incredible mandate to fill the earth with his glory, and suddenly mankind becomes what? Self-aware, inadequate, and fearful. And it hindered our job description, or at least our effectiveness. Look at Genesis 3:1. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Has God said?" He's challenging the word. "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The woman said, "Well, no, he didn't say that. He said we could eat from all of them. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, don't eat it nor touch it lest you die." And that was probably Adam adding the touch thing there. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 4, isn't that interesting? That was a complete lie. If God says, if you eat of this, if you take it into yourself, if you declare independence from me, you will die, then you go and die. So he is lying to her. Death is introduced not by the devil, but by God. But notice that it's not a threat by God. It's simply a result. Death is introduced as a result, not a threat. Okay? And then I often wonder, why didn't God tell him everything that was encompassed in the three-letter word die? Can I get a witness? There's a lot that goes into the word die. Misery, guilty conscience, self-awareness. Sin ever tormented your mind? Torment your emotions? Sure it does. And all God's saying to us is, I never wanted you to know any of that. I never wanted you to know that. Because that's what's eating up. Lucifer's eating up with it, so he's tempting him to become like him. Not like God, but like him. Stacy was so funny yesterday. She said, "I'm so mad at the devil." Because he came just so, you know, craftily and weasel-like. And tricked us. And she said, "Look at all the stuff that's come of it." Adam and Eve had no idea what all was encompassed in a three-letter word, die. They had no idea. God didn't say, "Hey, there's 6 billion people in you. You could affect them." Cancer, tuberculosis, hurricanes, STDs, murder, rape, human trafficking, child molestation, all those things were all wrapped up in the three-letter word, die. So if anybody ever asks you, "Well, why does all the bad stuff happen?" Man independent of God. Man declares independence of God and independence from God, and he dies. Just like if a fish declares independence from the dimension it was created in and for, water, it dies. If a fish declares independence from water, it dies. If a human being declares independence from God, we die. Death is coming. Why? Because every created thing has to live and be sourced by the dimension that founded it. Woo, come on, somebody. Now, what's interesting is, notice what she does here. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was what? Good for food, pleasant to the eyes, it was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and then she shared it. She gave to her husband, and he ate. The devil will never show you the evil side of sin, ever. He's going to show you the good side. It looked good. It seemed good, right? This will feel good. Why do people get hooked on drugs? They want to feel better. They want to feel good. So the devil will always show you the good side, never show you the death and destruction that he wants, the road he wants to really take you down. All right, let's keep reading. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Here we go. Man's first attempt to atone for his own sin, to cover over his own sin. You know how much money has been made off human beings selling atonement for sin? You think there's been any religion started and bankrolled by that right there, selling the fig leaves? If you do this, you'd be forgiven. Do this. Who can forgive you? Who's the only one that can absolve man from a sin? Right. Only God can do it. I love John 13. Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. He gets to Peter. And Peter, he likes to talk. He said, "Lord, never shall you wash my feet." Do you realize that Peter is saying what all religious people say? "Lord, you're God. I need to do for you. And if I do enough for you, then we'll be good," right? Peter could wash Jesus' feet till the cows come home and not clean himself. Peter could feed Jesus until the cows come home. Jesus could join, or sorry, Peter could join Jesus' band of brothers his whole life. You cannot be made clean by doing things for Jesus. Jesus' response was, Peter, if I don't wash you, we can't be together. But was he willing? Did he wash you? Oh, he did. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. The only way man's going to get out of the sin issue is Christ is going to have to do it on our behalf. And he did. All right. And then verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Starting to see the first fruits of sin, fear, running away. I have a dear brother who was here in first service. We had lunch this week, and he had a major addiction issue for much of his life. He's about 70 years old now. And I think it was about 5 years ago he got set free. He was delivered, discovered the reality of his freedom from his addiction. But he said, Brother Steve, there was one day that I blew it, man. I blew it again. And of course, my tendency is, here comes the shame, here comes the guilt. And he said, I heard Jesus speak to me. And Jesus asked me, he said, will you please not go away this time? He said, because your pattern right now is, you're going to go away from me for about 2 weeks at least. I won't hear from you. You don't want to talk to me. You don't want to listen to me. You're going to go loathe on yourself for a couple of weeks. And he said, would you please not leave this time? How powerful is that? Jesus asking a man who has stumbled and sinned into his addiction for who knows the 100th time and says, would you please this time not go away from me? Can I get a witness? The help my brother needs is with Jesus at his feet. If you need help, and that's proof you need help, then don't leave the master. Woo, come on, somebody. Yeah. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? How many of you think God knew where he was? God doesn't get new information. Verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I, man, you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to hide anymore. The blood has made a way. You have a right to be forgiven in Christ. But we see some of the fruit here. Did you know in Genesis 2, they were naked and unashamed? Satan manages to get two perfect people in a perfect world to be discontent. He actually convinced them that God was the one lying to them, that God was holding out on them. Got them to disobey God, be independent of God, source themselves, enter into self-knowledge. The Hebrew symbol for conscience is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we'll say that again. The Hebrew symbol for conscience is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because here's your definition of conscience out of Webster's Dictionary. Webster's Dictionary says, your conscience is the sense of moral good or blameworthiness of one's own conduct. This is what Adam and Eve were awakened to. Now, what were we created for? We were created to be lost in him. Consumed with him all the time, not self-aware, much less judging everybody else and ourselves by our own human knowledge of good and evil. Can I get a witness? You may not know everything. Boy, we're right, Sylvia? Oh, I can't believe that guy did that. Unbelievable. He's terrible. You have no idea all the ingredients that went into that cake. You have no idea, but I know somebody who does. Amen? The Lord has all the information. You're to be consumed with God, lost in God. Don't ever look on another human being without looking at them through the lens of God. You're not created to make judgments independent of God. You're not created to do anything independent of God. Woo! We'll judge our spouses by the knowledge of good and evil. We'll judge our boss by them. We'll judge our sports teams. We'll judge our little league coaches. We'll judge everybody by our fallible knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that. Always look through the lens of the Lord. Right? Jesus said, your eye is a gateway. It's a lamp. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. Everyone. And he has way more information on where they're coming from than you. And I know it hurt. I know they threw a cake right in your face, man. Count it all joy. Amen. I didn't get much help on that. All I'm saying is, all Jesus is saying is, you don't know everything that went into what happened. So Jesus Christ, here we're created to be lost in God and carry out the dominion mandate, and instead we're self-aware. We're not looking at God, we're looking at ourselves. Adam and Eve are looking at themselves, independent of God, and can I get a witness? They are lacking. They are naked. They are not God. Yeah. So Jesus is going to have to come and do something incredible. Something so powerful that it would take your eyes off of yourself and inadequacy and put it on your Father. And that, my friends, is what he came to do. Look at this. Colossians 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, well, he's made you alive together with him. Oneness. Having forgiven you of a few things you did. Come on, what's it say? Having forgiven you of all trespass. Are you living that truth? Do you live every day? Do you treat your family members every day with the revelation that you've been forgiven of all your mistakes? That's okay, I don't either. But we're growing. I haven't arrived, but I have left. I'm on my way. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm on my way. Look what he does. Look what the master does. He has forgiven us of all our trespasses, all the way back to Adam. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men, all the way back to Adam, into myself, and I'll put him to death. A righteous judgment, so that what can come forth? New creation, new race. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, it was contrary to us, it was opposed to us, it was the devil's finger in our face is what it was. And he's taken it out of the way and nailed it to the wood. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know what that means? Literally in the Greek, he took your enemies and paraded them down the streets of the city in shackles, defeated. That's what he did. He silenced your accuser. 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil. What that literally means is he who practices sin is of the devil. We had a church service one time, and I opened with that passage, and I just read it. I said, turn to 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. I closed it and said, all right, we'll see you next week. I think it's funny because in the translation, it's a weakness in translation. If you read verse 7, it's talking about practicing. So what it's saying here is he who practices sin, he who is in love with sin habitually is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. But look at this. For this purpose, Jesus Christ was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. You guys like those superhero shows? Jesus is the superhero. All the darkness, here it comes. They're all patterned after him. They are. Come defeat the darkness. For this purpose, Jesus showed up, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He's going to undo what has been done. He's going to strip them of all rule and authority. Remember in Matthew 28, before the Great Commission, he said, all authority in heaven and has been given to me. And who did he give it to? Us. Gave it back. Shared it with us. Our older brother. We love him. Romans 8, 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the... We abide in the Spirit, because that's the dimension we're made from and for and of. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. What was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Sin and death. Look what he did. The law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. We are liberated to put our eyes back on our Father, to walk with Him in the cool of the day, every day. No condemnation, no guilt, no self-awareness, no self-condemnation anymore. Not even self-righteousness. Amen? Because that's the other end of that spectrum. If you're absorbed with yourself, most of us feel terrible and realize we're lacking in our righteousness. Some people look at themselves and say, man, God deserves somebody like me. I'm amazingly righteous. We're like, ah. Gabe, you guys come and save me real quick. No more self-awareness. God awareness. Do you understand Jesus Christ is the second Adam? Corinthians says that. He came, born of God. Original information about humanity, sheds His blood, reverses all this curse so you can walk with God again. You could be God aware. When you go to lunch today, when you spend your afternoon today, be aware of the beauty and the majesty and the love of your dad. Be in love with Him. You walk those truths out, you won't have to worry about your behavior. You'll be consumed with Him. In John 15, Jesus said, abide in me. That word abide means to live in, remain in, and stay in. Because He said, if you try to live by or in any other source other than me and the Spirit of your Father, death will come. You'll be a fish out of water. You're way more spirit than you are earth, guys. You are made by the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And you know what's challenging is? If you look at TV, watch TV, our country, the world, they don't see it. Everything's sensual. Everything's feeling. It's self-gratification. It's all now. There's nothing. Nobody's on TV saying to the human beings, you're made in the image of a God who is spirit and who is truth, who loves you dearly. I told you, it takes more faith for somebody to believe that we came from cosmic goo or some kind of Big Bang random thing than our loving dad made us, formed us in our mama's womb. And they're so scared. The world's scared of that kind of information. It's crazy. When you tell your children and your grandchildren that God's numbered the hairs on their head, He would give His own life and did for them. It adds value to them. It adds love and acceptance to them. Those are qualities every human being needs. But the world's wisdom is like, tell them they went from cosmic goo to zoo to you. You know, tell them they came from this. They evolved from this, that, or the other. Just strip some of their value. Stand with me. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Guys, you are children of the living God. That's who you are. And as a child, you have the right, born from Him, born from that realm, to act on His behalf. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never heard this invitation that the Spirit of the living God can come and penetrate your heart and He can live inside of you.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.